Greetings, friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to put on your thinking cap for just a moment here, and I want you to think like God. That's right, and I know that that's a mighty big thinking cap to put on, because we as finite human beings could never begin to comprehend all of the infinite thoughts of our wonderful Father. But I do want you to put on your thinking cap for just a moment, because we can know the big picture, because God has revealed the big picture to us. So I'm going to ask you this question. If you were God, what would you do to bring about the perfect world? Would it be, for instance, to first send your son Jesus Christ back to the earth to establish him as the new ruler of the world? Perhaps your second step would be to throw out the old ruler of the world, Satan the devil. And perhaps the third step would be to begin to teach your divine principles, to teach people to obey them and to show them the blessings. And then if people disobey, to punish them, to let them know that they've done the wrong thing. Is that what you would do if you were God? Now let me ask you this question. Can we know this big picture from the scriptures? I say to you, we can. And I say to you, we can know the big picture through God's 7 annual holy days. And if you've been with us in previous programs, you know that on our last program, we talked about the Feast of Trumpets. And the Feast of Trumpets, indeed, my friends, pictures God the Father sending Jesus Christ back to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to establish the kingdom of God here on earth, to be the new ruler of the earth. And my friends, what we're going to find out beginning today is that the second step is indeed, whereas Satan the devil, the ruler of this world, will be kicked out. He'll be dispossessed. He'll be ruler no more. And then the third step indeed will be pictured by another holy day that we're going to talk about in the future, whereas God will begin through Jesus Christ for the first time to begin to teach all of the world his divine principles, his right way of living, and enforce obedience and punish disobedience so that all people will begin to experience the blessings of God. So today we're going to talk about the fifth step in God's plan of salvation. Again, the Feast of Trumpets was the fourth step. But today we're going to talk about the fifth step in God's plan of salvation, and this fifth step is called the Day of Atonement. And you've probably also heard of it referred to as Yom Kippur, because this is the most solemn day in all of Judaism. But my friends, this is not just a Jewish festival. This is a festival that God gave to all people to understand much broader, much deeper meaning than what the Jewish nation has previously understood. When you understand the depth and the breadth of this meaning for Christians today, you will see that these days picture God's perfect plan of salvation, that indeed we can know absolutely from the scriptures what God is going to do. In fact, as I've said in previous programs, these holy days not only teach us about the past, but they also teach us about the future. So in other words, if you want to understand prophecy, my friends, you should understand God's 7 annual holy days. And again today, we're going to begin to talk about this fifth step in God's 7-step plan of salvation as revealed by the Day of Atonement. So let's jump into it, and if you would please, let's turn to Leviticus chapter 23, and we'll read verses 27 through 32. This is Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, and we'll read verses 27 through 32. Also, on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a Day of Atonement. Again, as we said in previous programs, during the 7th month, but on the 1st day of the month, was the Feast of Trumpets. That pictures Jesus Christ returning to earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now this 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation to you. So that's the first thing we see. The second thing we see is that you shall afflict your souls. Now what is a holy convocation and what is afflicting your soul? A holy convocation is a time when God's people get together for holy purpose. That's a convocation, a holy convocation. Afflicting your souls means to fast. You don't see this in this particular scripture, but as you know, I always let the scripture interpret the scripture, so we will find out from scripture that afflicting your soul means to fast. And fasting means to not eat or drink anything for a 24-hour period of time, at least in this context for the Day of Atonement. So we see two things so far. That on the Day of Atonement, it's a holy convocation when God's people gather together for a holy purpose. And two, we are supposed to afflict our souls or fast, go without food and water when we do this. And then it says, you shall do no work in that day, for it's a Sabbath day of rest. That's the third thing, to take off from our regular work so that we can devote our times to a holy purpose, so that we can fast and get the most out of it, because we put a lot into it. And God gives us a stern warning also, saying that whoever does not fast on that day, and whoever does not seek from his or her work and have a Sabbath of rest, that person shall be cut off from among God's people. So this is an appointment that God takes very seriously. He wants for us to convene with him, to meet with him, to learn some very valuable lessons, my friends. And these lessons are what you can begin to learn today. And I advocate that you should begin practicing these lessons that you will begin to learn, so that you can fully understand the depth and breadth of these days and what they mean for you and me, what they mean indeed for the entire world as God seeks to bring about this utopian and perfect society, which he will do. So it says that this is going to be a Sabbath day of rest. You shall afflict your souls. You shall do it when the sun goes down on the ninth day of the month, even until the sun goes down on the tenth day of the month. That's when you shall celebrate this Sabbath day of rest, the Day of Atonement. So it's on the 10th day of the 7th month. So in this context, again, I'm going to prove that afflicting your soul means to fast, which means not eating or drinking for 24 hours. How can we prove this? Well, the first thing is to know what the word afflict means. Afflict is from the Greek word ana. That's ana. It is spelled A-N-A-H, and it means to press down the flesh, or to press the flesh down. Now, what does that mean? If you don't eat, my friends, if you don't drink for 24 hours, your flesh is going to start to get a little bit smaller. And if you never eat or drink again, of course, your flesh will totally disappear. You're going to return to the dust again. So this fasting begins the process of pressing down the flesh. Ana, this Greek word, also means to submit the self to a weakened state. And these are not my own definitions. You can go to Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible and see this. You'll see it also through the context of scriptures. And there are other Greek lexicons that will bring out the same meaning. So it means to submit the self to a weakened state. Well, again, if you don't eat or drink for 24 hours, you're going to be in a weakened state, but you submit yourself voluntarily to this. Now, fasting, so we talked about afflicting. Now let's talk about the word fasting. Fast is from the Greek word tasum, and I assume that this is how you pronounce the Greek word. It is spelled T-S-U-W-M, tasum, and it means to cover the mouth. So obviously, if you cover your mouth, you won't be able to eat or drink. That's how the word fast, to cover your mouth, ties in with the word afflict, meaning to press down the flesh or to submit the self to a weakened state. You cover your mouth, you don't eat or drink, you press down the flesh because it gets smaller, because you have submitted yourself to this weakened state. Now let's see this in scripture. Let's please turn over to Isaiah, the 58th chapter, and we'll read verses 3 through 5. This is in Isaiah chapter 58 and verses 3 through 5. Here you have some of the Jewish people asking God a question because they had fasted, and yet God did not accept their fast. So let's hear this conversation. This is in Isaiah 58 and verses 3 through 5. Why have we fasted and you don't see us, God? why are we afflicting our soul and you're not paying any attention to it? So here you have it, these two words combined. Why have we fasted? They're asking God. Why have we afflicted our soul? They're asking God. And yet you've paid no attention to it. Here's God's response. Well, the reason why is because in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and you exact all of your labors. We already saw that when we fast on this Day of Atonement, we're not supposed to be engaging in labor. It's a Sabbath day of rest, and neither are we obviously then supposed to be making other people work. And yet this is what they were doing. They were exacting all their labors, and God was upset with this. Goes on, God speaking to them, saying, behold, you fast for strife and debate. Now this is totally contrary to us submitting ourselves to a weakened state. Instead, they were boasting themselves up, and they were walking around like they were the big men on the block. And God is saying, no, it's supposed to be humility, not being puffed up. But they were fasting for strife and debate. They were fasting, as God says, to smite people with the fist of wickedness. It was like they were slapping or punching people in the face with their wickedness instead of bringing about righteousness. That's what you're doing when you're fasting, God says. You're fasting just to make your voice be heard on high, which is another way of saying you're just fasting to be noticed. You want everybody to look at you and think that you're something big and special. God goes on to say, is it the fast that I have chosen? Is this what I'm talking about when I say that you shall afflict your soul? No, God is not saying that we just do this, that we fast, stop from eating, afflicting our soul, and then go about and do wickedness and go about and stir up strife and debate. That's not what God wants. God says he wants something else. And my friends, we're going to begin to learn why God wants us to fast. So he goes on to ask them penetrating questions. Are you just fasting and spreading sackcloth and ashes under yourself? Is this the kind of fast that I want? Is this what you call the acceptable day to the Lord? Those are very penetrating questions, my friends. And the answer, obviously, from God is a very strong no. That's not the way he wants us to fast. That's not what we're supposed to get out of it. That's not what we're supposed to put into it. There are tremendous spiritual lessons that we can learn when we understand the purpose for fasting. So what are the purposes of fasting? Well, there are three purposes, according to God, as revealed in the scriptures, for fasting. These three purposes are, number one, to demonstrate the love of God. That's the first purpose for fasting, to demonstrate the love of God. The second purpose for fasting is to demonstrate the power of God. And then the third purpose of fasting is to demonstrate the need for God. Here you have it again, the three purposes for fasting: to demonstrate the love of God, to demonstrate the power of God, and to demonstrate the need for God. As we saw in Isaiah 58, the 58th chapter in verses 3 through 5, the Jews at that time did none of those three. They did the opposite. But we should do what God says when we fast. We should demonstrate the love of God. We should demonstrate the power of God. And we should demonstrate the need for God. And in our next program, we're going to go into depth into each of these.